Proverbs chapter 13 tonight, one verse. This message tonight is really, and it's just the next truth that we hit in Proverbs 13 that I wanted to preach on tonight. It really dovetails with Sunday evening. So there is a difference. It's just along the same lines, just a different facet of the truth I preached on Sunday night. If you're saying, I have no idea what you preached on Sunday night, that's good then, because, well, not really, but I'm just saying, and this will be all brand new to you. Amen. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 13, I'll wait till everybody here gets a handout tonight. Wisdom from Above, of course, is the series from James chapter chapter 3. And, you know, talking about the difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. And as believers, of course, we understand that we are to live by the wisdom of God, wisdom from above. And it's in sharp contrast to the things that we hear all around us. And that's the battle. Because we're hearing all these things and all these ideas that people have. And I am a little bit of a fan of talk radio. I don't listen to it a lot. I'm not addicted to it. But every so often, to see what's going on, I try to tune in. And, you know, there's some good things that are said, no doubt. But their solution's wrong. Their solution is not, it's not government that's going to fix this thing. We have to, it's not voting right, although we should vote right. It's turning back to God.
Amen.
And using the wisdom that He gives us.
Right.
And that's the answer. So Proverbs chapter 13, notice verse 15, where we read, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard.
Amen.
Let's read that together. Ready? Begin. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this evening. It's a joy to be in Your house. It's a joy to gather together and really have air conditioning. We're grateful for that. And come to this place and pray as a church and get a hold of You.
Amen.
And we know, Lord, that You are the answer. And Father, as we've opened up Your Word tonight, we need Thee. Please help us tonight. Help me as I preach Your Word. Fill me afresh and anew with Thy Spirit. Help all those that are listening to have ears to hear. And may we apply the truth that we hear tonight to our lives, whether it be just something we have to do in our minds to have the right perspective of things. Lord, I pray that You do that work tonight that only Your Spirit can do.
Amen.
I yield myself to Thee as best as I know how. Use me for Your glory, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You know, one of the beliefs that makes us Baptists, I hope you understand why you're a Baptist. I did two series on that when I first got here, is why I'm a Baptist. And then I did another series, why I am still a Baptist, probably due for another one. It's been quite some time. But one of the beliefs that makes us Baptists is this. We believe that the Bible is the final authority for our faith and practice.
Amen.
And I think all of us would agree to that. We believe the Bible is. In other words, we don't just say, well, I think this. No, we have to have a chapter and verse for what we believe, because the Bible is our final authority for faith and practice. Now, we believe the Bible, of course, is not everything that God knows, but it's everything that God wants us to know. I say that often. We believe it's inspired. It's been breathed out by God. Verbal inspiration, plenary inspiration. Every word's inspired. Every part of the Bible is inspired. And it's been preserved by God for us for all generations. And we believe it's perfect. That it's without error.
Amen.
And for English-speaking people, we understand that we're talking about the King James Bible only. That's what we're talking about. All other versions are perversions indeed. But what makes the Bible so unique, among other things, is that it gives us the answers to all of the questions of life. Even the what we would consider, the world would consider, the deep questions of life. For example, where did we come from?
Right.
Well, we know that from the Bible. Why are we here? What is the meaning of life?
Amen.
Is there a right way to live?
Right.
Is there, here's a good one for the world, is there right and wrong?
Amen.
Is there something that's right, something that is wrong? Is there right or wrong? Where are we going when we die? Those are serious questions.
Amen.
Deep questions, if you will. And can we know that we are going to heaven? Well, you don't find the answers to those questions in the Book of Mormon.
Right.
You don't find them in the Quran. You don't find them in the Vedas of Hinduism. You don't find them in the teachings of Buddha. You don't find those answers in the writings of Plato or Aristotle or John Dewey or Sigmund Freud or Karl Marx or any other philosopher or false religion. You don't find the answers there. It's only God, through His Word, that gives us the answers to those questions. And those answers are certain.
Amen.
We can be certain of them.
Praise the Lord.
By the way, God only has one book.
Amen.
That's it. Now, if there's one word that I would use to describe the unregenerate world in general today, and there's many we could use, no doubt, but one that would be at least on the list of things we would use, words, it would be the word confused.
Right.
You feel the same way?
Amen.
I mean, I'm listening to things I hear in newscasts, if you will. I'm thinking, have people lost their minds? Don't they know right from wrong? They are confused. And the world is especially confused about those matters I just spoke about before. Is there a right way to live? Is there right and wrong? Where did we come from? And so forth. They are so confused about those matters. Came across something online. Someone posed some questions. Actually, it was in an article in December 2021 that was entitled, "Is there a best or right way to live?" That was the article's title. Is there a right way to live? I mean, were you even asking that question? Well, of course there is, but that's what they're saying. That's so smart, isn't it, to ask, like, is there a right way to live? There is.
Amen.
But here's what they wrote. After a long, I was reading the thing, I said, this is ridiculous. After a long, confusing set of statements, the author's conclusion was this. Your life is up to you. And only you know what will make you feel fulfilled. And therefore, what you need to attain a meaningful life. Oh, you're welcome to listen to others. But remember that you will find your own way. I can't tell you what is right or wrong, but I can tell you what is okay with me as long as it's what you want to do and it's not harming anyone else. You do you. I hate that phrase. People say that all the time today. I'm just doing me. You do you. That's ridiculous. We're not to do you. We're to do God. Amen.
Amen.
Again, another question. Am I living my life the right way? The answer from another person. It's crucial to understand that there is no one right way to live our lives. We all have our own ways. And that's supposed to be smart. I mean, somebody actually reads that and goes, ooh, that's smart. I never would have thought of that. Really? That's where we are today. One person wrote in response to the question, is there a right way to live? Quote, consequences dictate a course of action. And it doesn't matter what's right. It's only wrong if you get caught. There's a good one. Here's another one. Even one pastor of a Christian church in Missouri, I should name him, but I won't. He responded this way, right and wrong are defined by our environmental experience, how we are taught, and our religious, moral, and ethical value system. Talk about confusion. Talk about a world of confusion. But the Bible is not confusing on this matter, not at all, or in any matter. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So there is a way that is right. Amen, right there? There is. And there is a way that is wrong. There is a way that God wants us to live, and there is a way that God warns us about.
Amen.
And God's Word gives us what He calls the way.
Amen.
His way.
Praise Jesus.
And His way is perfect. So tonight I want to preach on this subject from this verse and a lot of other. I know you're looking at the blanks. We're going to get through it quick, all right? I'm going to get through this one in kind of a rapid sense here, but we'll get there. But let's consider this subject, the wisdom of God's way.
Amen.
The wisdom. Maybe I could say the wisdom of choosing God's way. All right, let's talk about this idea here. Notice, first of all, number one, you write this down, the distinction of the ways. Now it's interesting. Again, I'll get to our verse here in a minute, but the phrase "the way," interesting, is found in 343 verses in the Bible. It's a lot of times in the Word of God. Most of the time it's in the Old Testament. 278 times in the Old Testament, 65 times in the New Testament. The Old Testament Hebrew word for the word way, it is the word derek or derek, D-E-R-E-K. And that word's interesting. It's found in 627 cases in the Old Testament. Now, the most frequent way that the word or the phrase "the way" we're talking about tonight, "the way," is used is to describe a physical road. Most frequently of all the times it's in the Bible, it's talking about a road, like a path, or a physical road, a physical path that leads somewhere, or a journey that someone is taking. It is a way, if you will. Genesis 16:7, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur." In other words, they found her on that road that led to Shur. So it's talking about this way, an actual physical path or a physical road. Genesis 42:25 says this, "Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way." There it is again. "And thus did he unto them." So many times, most of the time, and I didn't, of course, didn't read through all of those verses to prepare for this message, but most of the time, of the hundreds of times it's used, it's talking about a physical road. But there's a second way that the word or phrase "the way" is used, as we see in our text. And that is in a figurative way. Look at it. I'll refer to this a few times tonight. "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." He's not talking about a physical road, a physical path. The second way it's used is a figurative way, and it is used to describe a mode of life or a course of action. In other words, it is the path of life that you and I choose. The way. Here we are walking through life. And we choose, I know there's a lot of choices, but generally speaking, we choose the path that we go on. We choose the way. It is the way we choose to live. It is the path of life that we follow. It is the course. It is the direction of life that someone has chosen. And by the way, all of us tonight have chosen a way.
Right. Amen.
You have.
Right.
Now you're in church here tonight. I'm grateful for that. We're meeting together as a church. Hopefully that's an indication that you have chosen the right way. We'll talk about that here in a moment, but that's not necessarily true. You could be sitting here tonight and you haven't. You're on a different path. You're in a different direction. And maybe you're just going through the motions tonight. I don't know. I'm not accusing you. I'm just saying that. All of us have chosen a way. Now, there are several ways that the Bible describes. I started reading through a bunch of them, and some of them are positive ways, and some of them are negative ways. Let's talk about the negative side. Now, in our text, this is negative, isn't it? God, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. So notice, that's a negative way. That's a negative path. That's a negative choice in our lives. It is called the way of transgressors. I was amazed to find out how many ways there are in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to go through them all, just a few, for example. If you look back a little bit at Proverbs chapter 1, I thought this was a good example. Flip back there. If you'll remember in verse 10, this warning of the father to his son, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause." Let's go down to verse 14. "For time's sake, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." Notice, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them." Refrain thy foot from their path. So notice he's talking here about the way of sinners. He said, don't go down that path. So there's a way in the Bible, way of transgressors, a way of sinners. There's the way of evil men found in Proverbs 2:12. To deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Proverbs 4:19 talks about the way of the wicked. It's a path that somebody has chosen. The way of the wicked is as darkness. Jude 11 says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for rewards. So the Bible even speaks of the way to hell. Interesting. Proverbs 7:27 says this, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So those are the negative ways that the Bible, negative paths of life that the Bible describes. But let's talk about the positive side. Nice to do that once in a while. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 8 says this, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So there it is, the way of his saints. There's a positive thing. Proverbs 2:20 says this, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. I like that. That means there's a way to go that's good. Good men go in this way, this path, this choice of life. Proverbs 8:20 says this, I lead in the way of righteousness, and so forth. And so we can go on and on talking about them, and we can say here's a bunch of ways that are negative, and here's a bunch of ways that are positive, but I believe we could take all of those and categorize them into two distinct groups. And that is what I would call the way of life and the way of death. We'll go through them, and you can write them down early if you want. But I think I have biblical justification to categorize them that way, because the Bible, in the Bible, God categorizes them that way. We find that in Jeremiah 21:8, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, watch this now, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. So, I'm going to just do this. Just give me a second here. I'm going to tape something up. I want you to think about this. I don't know where I'm going to put this. I've decided to put them on the doors. So, I want you to think of this is the way or the path to life. Can I go higher? Sure. How about up here? Does that work for you? All right. I hope it doesn't fall down. If it falls down, Brother Strong, it's your job to put it back up. All right. And over here, we'll go the way. I'm going to spit my suit here in a second. Let's put it over here. You can tell I planned this out really carefully before I did it. So there it is. The way of life and the way of death. So let's look at these two separately. All right, letter A, write this down. Let's talk about the way of life. Now, this principle that there is a way, so God is saying here, call it the way of transgressors, call it, that's the way of death. Call it the way of the righteous, the way of the good man, that is the way of life. God is saying there's a principle here for you and I to choose, and that is the way of life or the way of death. Now, the way of life, this phrase is only mentioned four times in the Bible. Once in Jeremiah, the one I just read, I've set before you the way of life and the way of death, three of them, in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of destruction are the way of life. Proverbs 15:24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. So, what does that mean? When God is talking about the way of life, real simple, this is like elementary, this is. But it's important, I think it is. When we're talking about living the way of life, it means that you and I, if we've chosen to do that, it means that we have chosen to live our lives God's way.
Amen.
By His book. By what He says. Amen. Not by what other churches are doing, not by what my Christian friends are doing, not by what another preacher friend of mine is doing, but by God's Word.
Amen.
By his way, according to his commandments. In other words, we are following his word, we are walking down his path, we are following his example, we are doing things God's way. That's what we're doing. It is you and I saying, hey, I have chosen this. I better get these right tonight. I don't want to, you know, walk over there. I have chosen the way of life. That's what we're saying. That's what it means. Now, Proverbs 10:17, watch this. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. There's the definition of it. If we keep the instruction of his word, we are in the way of life. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. Alright, so let's talk about two things about this way of life that's really important. Number one is this. It commences or begins with salvation. Now, if you're here tonight and you want to get in on this way of life, you have to first be saved.
Right.
You can't get in on the way of life
Amen.
Without it. You must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must be a recipient of eternal life. And by the way, there is only one way that a person can receive Amen. Eternal life,
right.
and that is through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ
Amen.
Alone. Remember what he said, John 14:6, I am the way,
Amen.
The truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when we're talking about the way of life, I want to go this way. Well, Jesus says, it begins with salvation, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father
Amen.
But by me. Christ is the only way. 1 John 5:11, and this is a record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Amen.
So eternal life is not attained through a church.
Right.
It is not attained through good works. It's not attained through sacraments or through baptism or through church membership or you trying to live by the Ten Commandments or live a good life. It is only obtained through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's when the day came and you recognize I'm a sinner, I've offended God, I've violated his word, I am guilty and deserving of hell, but Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to this earth, went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, died for my sins, paid my sin debt in full, and rose from the dead. And when I repent of my sin and I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, hey, I've received eternal life. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. In order to get to heaven, you and I have to have the righteousness of God. And we can't earn that on our own.
Right.
It is imputed to us, placed on our account when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior. We are declared righteous. Not that we've lived righteous. We have not. But all our sins are gone, gone, gone. All of them are gone.
Praise the Lord.
I'm excited about that.
Amen.
I hope you are too. That's the beginning of the way of life. It commences with salvation. You know the sad part is, though, for many, it just commences there, and that's the end of it. That's the beginning of the Christian life.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you can lose your salvation. You have to keep yourself saved. I'm not talking about that. Salvation is what commences it. But number two, it continues with surrender.
Amen.
Well, when you get on this way of life, wonderful. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Okay. Bigger question. Are you surrendered? You see, this is where the herd gets thin.
Right.
This is where it gets sparse. You see, God not only wants to save our souls, he also wants to bless our lives.
Hallelujah.
He wants to use us for his glory. He wants to, he does, and I don't get this, but it's true. It's in the Bible. He wants to give us the abundant Christian life here on earth.
Amen.
Jesus said it himself, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And understand something, the great paradox of the Christian life is this. The way to the blessed life is by death. Want to live? die. Amen. Death to self. It's a wild thing, isn't it? That's a paradox. The way to life, not just eternal life, the abundant life, is death. I always think of when the Lord Jesus Christ said some of the things He said to His disciples, how they responded. Because I probably would have responded the same way. Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. Huh? In order to find something, I have to lose it. When I lose it. Not when I lose it, I find it. Yeah. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.
Amen.
There it is. That's the paradox. Right. Preacher, I want that life that he's talking about there. I do. I want this way of life. I do. Guess what? Are you saved or are you dead to self? John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. There it is. Preacher, I want to produce fruit. I want to produce fruit as a preacher. I do. Guess what I have to do? Die.
Amen.
Die to self.
Right.
You see, we are in the way of life when we surrender our lives to God. By the way, that's not just for the missionary or the pastor. That's for every believer.
Right. Amen.
Every one of us. When we surrender our will to His will. When we die to self on a daily basis. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the thing that God wants of all of us. As soon as we get saved would be the best. That's what the Apostle Paul did when he got saved in Acts chapter 9. The first thing he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'll do whatever you want. Many Christians wait their entire lives. Some never get there to do that. Do it right away.
Amen.
If you want the way of life. So it's this act of continual. And by the way, it's not just a one and done deal. It is an act of continual submission that puts us on and keeps us on the way of life.
Amen.
So there's a way of life. Then there's the way of death. Well, let's talk about that. That's letter B there. That phrase, way of death, is found in three verses in the Bible. I read Jeremiah 21:8. I'll read it again. I liked it a lot, so I'm going to do it again. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Proverbs 14:12 is repeated in chapter 16 and verse 25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Amen.
More about this verse later. So here the way of life is when I say, okay, I'm living the Christian life and I have a choice. Well, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. I'm not even liking that word. Here, I want the way of life. And so I have to make sure that I am saved. I know Christ as my Savior and I'm surrendered to Him. Then I'm on that way. But then there is what we read in the Bible, something called the way of death. What's that? That is when you and I reject God's way. Or maybe we could say substitute God's way. It's when we reject His Word. It could be, and it doesn't necessarily mean I'm shaking my fist at God. It just means we see something, we say, not for me, that one. That's the way of death. It's when you and I choose to go our own way and we live for self. You see, when we do that, think about it, we don't normally make this connection, but when we do that in any area of our lives, we are in essence following the way of death. So those are the two ways that God has, the two choices described in the Bible. Which way are you on?
Good.
Which way am I on? Which way will you choose? See, the beauty of it is this. We can choose. If we're on the wrong one, we could choose and just go to the right one. It's like
Amen.
That. And God will restore us and bring us right back. Boom, we're right back on it.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the distinction of the ways. Number two, let's talk about the description of the ways. Let's talk about these, each of them. What does God say about the way of life and what does He say about the way of death. I'm laying out a case, so maybe Sarah can watch how I be a lawyer up here today, give me a little help on her bar exam, doubt it. But anyway, the Bible says, watch this, and when we choose a way of life, lots of things about that, but I'm just going to pick out a few for time's sake, some things about it. Number one is this, watch this, stay with me, it is easy. Did you get that?
Amen.
It's easy. The Christian life is so hard. Well, then you're calling the Lord Jesus Christ a liar.
Right.
I'm just saying. Matthew chapter 11. Let's go there. You know the verse. Matthew 11 and verse 28.
Amen.
We read, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Amen.
You say, "Well, preacher, I have." This does not mean that you and I will not have problems in life. It's not saying that at all. We will. But it does mean this, at least in application to, and more than this, but at least in the application of my message tonight, it means that choosing the way of life makes our life easy. Let me see. Okay, somewhere. Okay, we got that. Let's see. Way of life, way of death. I don't even like that word. Looking good already here. All right, here's the next thing. Easy. Easy? That sounds like a no-brainer to me.
Amen.
It's easy. It's easy. You see, making God and His Word our authority, listen to this closely. It does not complicate life. It actually simplifies life. Because I don't have to figure things out. God has already for me.
Hallelujah.
If I get sinned against, what do? I forgive. I don't have to sit here, what do? I don't want to forgive. No, I forgive.
Amen.
It's easy. Just do it. There it is. It actually simplifies life because God's Word dictates what I do. All I have to do is obey. Free, easy, praise the Lord for that. And imagine, as Matthew 11 says, He helps me to do that anyway. I'm not alone. I'm in the yoke with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How much more easy can it get?
Right. Amen.
So it's easy. But number two, write this down. It brings peace and joy as well. Well, it looks pretty attractive if you ask me.
Amen.
It's life. It's eternal life. It's submission to God. It's easy, and it brings joy and peace. Acts 2:28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Notice He made known the ways of life.
Amen.
Why does that bring joy and peace? Because when you choose and I choose the way of life, and you know there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, there's no guilt there.
Amen.
I'm not harboring unconfessed sin. I'm not. And so there's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no hiding of things. There's no having to keep track of what I say to people because I'm saying something over here and saying something different over here. And my life's all twisted up. I can't, and I'm a wreck. You know why? Because you're going the wrong way. Be honest. Do what He says. It's easy. It brings peace and joy, a simplicity to life. And by the way, that peace and joy can be found nowhere else.
Amen. Right.
Than being in the way of life.
Amen.
So it's easy. It brings peace and joy. Then number three, also this, it brings God's blessings.
Praise the Lord.
I'm liking this already.
Amen.
I mean, there's a lot more that I haven't said and I'm not going to say, but wow, Proverbs 16:7. Watch this. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Do you know that God blesses us when we choose the way of life, when we are in the way of life?
Amen.
He answers our prayers when we are in the way of life. He directs us when we are in the way of life. I love what bride for Isaac, Abraham, his servant, when he sent him to get that bride for him. Do you remember what he said in Genesis 24:27? He said, blessed, when he found the bride, for Isaac, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. God could lead him. Why? Because he was in the way of life.
Amen.
He was going the right way.
Right.
Brings God's blessings, answers to prayer. You want direction in your life? Oh, I just want God's will. I die. Well, make sure you're in the way.
Amen.
The way of life. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're surrendered to him. And he will direct you. He promises it in his word.
Amen.
But then there's a fourth thing, and I thought this was interesting. And that is this. Not only is it easy, it brings peace and joy, it brings God's blessings. Lastly, notice, you'll be in the minority. Interesting. Look over at Matthew chapter 7. You know the passage I want to read. All of these, most of these are familiar tonight.
Amen.
Let's bring it to verse 14. We'll go back to 13, my next point. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way,
amen,
which leadeth unto life. Watch this. And few there be that find it. You'd think, looking at it, just the title of it, death,
right,
and life. Then add to that, it's easy.
Amen.
Brings peace and joy.
Praise the Lord.
God blesses us.
Man,
it's probably going to be hard getting through that door. All the people trying to get through at the same time. But God says, here's an interesting thing. Only a few are going to go that way. Only a few of his children are going to go that way. I say that again? That went over real good. Only a few of his children are going to go that way. That blow your mind.
Right. Amen.
It is. It's mind-blowing. You see, if you choose to live for God, if you choose to truly make the Bible, I'm not talking about playing religion.
Right.
I'm not talking about playing Christianity. I'm talking about we say, yes, I'm going to make God, my Lord, the Bible, His Word, my guide, and our family's going to live for the Lord. We're going to do what's right. We're going to dress right. We're going to make sure we have the right standards. Going to live for Him?
Amen.
Not going to be many people with you. There's not. You will be in the minority. Even among professing believers. I give this talk, this little speech to all the guys and gals going off to college. I say there's going to be three groups. Three groups. There's going to be people who are going to want to do right. There's going to be people who don't want to do right. I probably should have done it the other way. People want to do right. People who don't want to do right. And then people in the middle. You say, preacher, even at Bible college, people that have a call in the ministry? Yes. Oh, yes. Go visit a campus. It'll blow your mind. Sit through a chapel at some of these colleges. See what these students, some of the students are doing. On their phone through half of it. Bible college, Christian college. People call in the ministry. They're there. But there's also some that do want to do right.
Amen.
And some that want to do wrong. And there's some in the middle. Do you know which group is the smallest? Do you know what it is? It's this group.
Right.
It's this group. Somebody just asked me the other day. They're talking about going to school. I said, listen, when you get down there, find the group that wants to do right. Find the ones that are sitting in the front two rows for preaching time, that get involved with their local church, the ones that are going out to the nursing homes, getting involved in the bus ministry, getting involved with reaching people for the Lord. Find that group. They're going to be small, but there's a small group there. I guarantee it.
Praise the Lord.
Right. Not everybody. Sad, isn't it?
Amen.
That's true. By the way, it doesn't just go for Bible college. It goes to Christian schools. And it even goes for churches. That's the way it is. Trying to reach people, that's the way it is.
Amen.
You know, Jesus Christ was in the minority.
Amen.
3.5 years, the Son of God, perfect man, perfect preacher, God in the flesh. Never said anything wrong. No guile in his mouth.
Amen.
Ascended back to heaven, look in that upper room. How many did you see? Thousands? No, 120. 120. 120. 120.
Right. Amen.
John 6:66. Remember what happened when he preached that message? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They were heading this way. We're going. And then he said some things of the requirements of the Christian life. I said, we'll go this way. And I want to say, do you know what you just did? Do you know what you're choosing? Do you understand that choice?
Right. Amen.
You just went from choosing life to choosing death. Thank God Peter said, when he turned and said, will you go also? He said, no, Lord, you have the words of life.
Amen.
But this was a few. Paul, when he died, he didn't have a crowd around him.
Right.
2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. It's all by myself. Where'd they go?
Right.
And you and I will be in the minority also.
Amen.
It's okay, though. It's okay. Amen?
Amen.
It's all right.
Right.
So be it. That's the description of the way of life. Then there's a description of the way of death. Listen to what God says, and I'll run through these quickly, about the way of death. Number one, in the way of death, and I hope every young person, I know we have the King's Kids coming up in September. I like some of these messages, especially that the young people are hearing this, because you guys are in some pretty big decision-making times of your life.
Right.
And you're going to have to understand something, that there are two choices.
Right.
And if you go this way, you are going to be in the minority.
Amen.
Your buddies aren't going to pat you on the back. The way of death, listen to what God says about it. Number one is this, there is temporary pleasure. Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen, living in the way of death may bring and does bring a temporary, and I emphasize temporary thrill, moments of pleasure. As a person takes the drugs or drinks the alcohol or it gets involved in promiscuity or starts looking at pornography, it brings a temporary thrill. But that pleasure quickly fades.
Amen.
And the aftermath is devastating.
Amen.
And there's no lasting joy.
Amen.
And what you lost is far greater than the moments of thrill you experienced. So there's temporary pleasure. And then number two, there's no peace.
Amen.
It's kind of like I said Sunday night. Isaiah 48:22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked.
Right.
You see, when you're going this way, especially a child of God that chooses, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to go the way of death. Understand, you might as well wave goodbye, kiss peace goodbye. Because as much as you try to convince everyone how happy you are and how much at peace you are and how much freedom you feel, we know the truth.
Amen.
Because God's word is true.
Praise the Lord.
There is no peace, saith the Lord,
Amen.
Unto the wicked. It is impossible. It is impossible to have peace in your heart as a child of God when you're living in disobedience to God.
Amen.
And then number three, here's another thing. You'll be in the majority. Back to Matthew chapter 7. You should be there. Verse 13. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Notice, broad is the way.
Amen.
And a lot of people to go. You see, it's not hard to find people that are doing wrong. Matter of fact, it's amazing. I had worked on the staff at Bible College, and it's almost as if the first week of school, it's as almost as if they have these radars, people that do wrong, and they find each other so quickly, like they just find each other. It's not hard to find somebody doing wrong. It's not hard to find somebody that's living the way of death. You know why? Because there's a lot of people that choose to do that. In fact, if you're going to choose to go this way, I said it already, but you're going to see a whole crowd going the other way, and then they say, come on, come on, over here, it's way better. When it's not.
Right.
And then number four is this. Not only will you be in the majority if you choose that way, but it produces death. You know what the end is? Death.
Amen.
You know what that way is? The way of death. Are you listening? The way of death. Amen. The way of death.
Amen.
Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. It seems right. I mean, they're laughing. They don't look like anything's happening to them.
Right.
They look like they're having fun. I guess it's the way to go. Don't do it.
Amen.
It's the way of death.
Right. Amen.
You see, the way of death produces death.
Right. Amen.
You see, if you're not saved, it's going to produce eternal death. If you are saved, it's going to bring death to a lot of things.
Right. Amen.
Your walk with God, your marriage, your relationships,
amen.
Maybe even your life. For the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
So I've presented the Bible case. Which way makes sense?
Amen.
Let's see. Wisdom from above. Doesn't take a rocket scientist.
Right. Amen.
That's the way to go.
Praise the Lord.
So why doesn't everyone go that way? Let's go back to our verse and we're done here. Number three is this, the deception of the devil. Proverbs 13:5, notice we are told that in the latter portion, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. That's what God says, it's hard. The Bible says that. But the devil doesn't say that.
Right.
Matter of fact, the devil does not create anything. He merely imitates and he repeats what he does again and again and again and again. You know why he does that? Because it works. And he knows human nature. And so what does he do? He comes and he places doubt like he did in Genesis chapter 3. Doubt in the word of God. Yea, hath God said. And he accuses God of something that he's not. He convinces Eve that ye shall be as gods. He tries to deceive her. Why? He wants her to go the way of death.
Right.
And young person, that's what he wants for you as well. He'll say that the way of death is fun. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's the easy way, you'll say. The easy way. It's a lot more fun. Now, you don't want those, you know, the bondage of rules and regulations and the don'ts. You want to be free. You're to walk through that door. Put your head back there. You'd see the destroyed lives.
Right. Amen.
Many people.
Right.
Families. Yeah. Marriages. Drug addicts. Child abusers. All that chose the way of death.
Amen.
And I'd imagine if you cracked open this door, you might hear, come in, get out now, save yourself, go the way of life.
Right.
Probably what you'd hear.
Amen.
But the devil don't want you to hear that. He wants you to say, no, it's fine. So the question is this, who are we going to believe?
Amen.
God?
Amen.
Or the devil? See, wisdom from above says this. The way of the transgressors, it's hard. It's hard.
Right.
You're not going to like that path. You're not going to like that decision. Come this way. My yoke is easy.
Amen.
The burden is light.
Praise the Lord.
And you're in the yoke with me.
Hallelujah.
And you'll be glad
Glory
you chose
God.
The way
Praise Jesus.
Life.
Amen. Amen.